Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Like Steven, we sell scented sweatshirts. And the Shopify customer service team helped us so much. And I would say we had questions at 3, 4 a.m. They were there.
For sure. And I think it's why they help turn browsers into buyers.
Totally.
So if you want to manufacture true crime leggings in Guatemala and sell them in Indonesia, sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/bookclub, all lowercase, today.
That's shopify.com/bookclub. shopify.com/bookclub.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Celebrity Book Club.
Buonasera, Giacomo.
Buonasera, Ganomini.
You look quite plump and masterful. What have you been eating lately?
Oh, nothing but the finest fish, plums, and of course all the fruits of a woman. Let us take a cafe and sit on this beautiful bench and look at the women of Venice together.
Okay, my letter to the cardinal in Rome can wait. I would love to catch up with you. So, who is this fine Venetian lady you took last night? And does she have any sisters, cousins, mothers, or godmothers?
She is a fine, young, pure woman, a virgin, and her sister is also a virgin, but no more after last night. Oh, my, Giacomo, look at this woman who has just entered the coffee house. She is the cousin of one of the sisters whose virginity I took. That is the lady Padua Limania Corizima Pizza Bellissima.
Oh, my God, I would love to take her to my cousin's gondola and bend her over and lift up her stockings and rub her legs with a fine lard to moisten her up. Oh, should I buy her espresso?
No. You should just simply watch and wait. Do not be the moth, be the flame.
Do not be the moth, be the flame.
And look, she is not wearing the petticoat. Her ankle, it is so soft and tiny and pure and virginal. It is getting me so excited. My linen pants are getting too amorous.
Here, take my large book I was writing in my letters to the cardinal to cover your big male Italian member with.
Thank you, Giacomo. I'm so worried that my meatball is going to be seen by all of the Inquisition who is here from Rome.
Oh, no. An older, more voluptuous woman just walked in with that bare young virgin. Now, this is my type.
Oh, wow.
She has a sturdy calves.
Even though she is so old and probably a widow and probably close to death adore, she also looked like a young cousin or a sister of a cousin. I could see you worshiping at her temple. Oh my goodness, Giacomo, look at your linen pants. You are too excited.
Oh, I need my book back. She's so plump, so that must mean you know she has so much money and I am in so much debt. I owe 20,000 lira to the cardinal.
You have done too much gambling. Tonight we should play a prank on one of the noblemen of Venice, hide his papal robes in the wardrobe of another cousin sister, and everyone might think that they're having an affair, even though they are not.
Are you talking about all these tricks? Giacomosimo is making me feel something I didn't know. Maybe am I bisexual? I don't know. Why am I feeling so turned on?
I think we should go asleep in the same bed, but face the opposite direction, so nothing happen between us. But if it does, it is simply fun, a thing that happened between a brother cousin, a father daughter, sister
just
mother.
Just two brother cousins who are having Venetian fun.
Oh, I need a parchment to cover my shameful, exuberant excitement.
More espresso, more espresso.
Espressini, 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 oh.
That knocking at the door, it's all your friends, you filthy whore. Your husband's gone and we've got books and a bottle of wine to kill.
It's Hollywood,
it's books,
it's gossip,
I'm shook.
It's memoirs,
it's martinis,
it's Studio 54,
it's Bellini. Celebrity Book Club, come read it while it's hot. Celebrity Book Club, tell your secrets, we won't talk. Celebrity Book Club, no boys are allowed. Celebrity Book Club, Book Club.
Buzz me in, I brought the Cuervo.
Hey, best friend. How are you, my Italian brother?
I'm so good to see you after a long day's journey from Padua all the way to Fellini down to Treverzi.
Fellini to Roma to the north of Napoli. Now, some may think, oh, you guys are talking in Italian accents.
Right.
What's you must new? Be doing Isabella Rossellini's cookbook today.
Yeah, because you guys love actresses and cookbooks.
And food and cookbooks and martinis and wine and butter.
But guess the fuck what, bitches? We're not going to zig. We're going to zag.
We're going to zag, just like we did with our winter vacations.
We have decided to go back in time.
To the 18th century.
Italia, Venezia.
Venezia, one of the most popping towns in the 1700s.
Literally kind of like too popping. Like famously too popping was the most poppingest town in all of Europe. And everyone was having to roll through Venice because it was just like so wild. It was kind of giving like New Orleans.
Yeah, it's like Nolens plus Vegas.
Yes, it was Nolens plus Vegas.
And like a little bit of NYC, because there's like tons of theater.
There's tons of theater and culture, and it was very just like, you're doing your gap year, you have to go to Venice.
Even though like it was still like really ruled by the Catholic Church, which of course Italy is still is today.
Yes, but at the same time, the Catholic Church, you know, they could feel their influence waning. In any event, it was that environment.
That bread. I mean, you've heard his name.
You've heard
his name.
It's
almost crazy. You're like, is he even real?
Is he even real? It's funny. I think he's one of the only people whose name has become a word. You know what I mean?
Oh, wait. That's a really good question. I'm trying to think of other names that have come a word. Like Madonna, the Pope.
Yeah. Madonna was a word before her.
Not even Shakespeare.
Right.
Like, you're not like, oh, I'm going to go Shakespeare.
Right.
Which I do want to start using, and I am now going to turn that just like, yeah. I went Shakespeare on his ass. But it's like, you wouldn't be like, oh, if someone's a writer, you wouldn't be like, he's a total Shakespeare. As you would just be like, he's a Casanova if he was like a total player.
Oh, and there's the reveal. So yeah, the book that we read was the memoirs of one Giacomo Casanova.
Giacomo Casanova. Look, his full memoirs were going to go ahead and run 70 on one of my favorite sites, Amazon.com.
And his full memoirs are 3,700 pages. Like when the French government like purchased them in like 1860, it was just like the largest, longest manuscript ever purchased in the history of time at 3.2 million words. So we read an abridged version of like a section, which is basically just his time in Venice.
And it's called The Venetian Years. And red is also an interesting way to put it because we did, yes, use the New York Public Library system, support your libraries. We listened to the audiobook on the library app read by none other than British actor Benedict Cumberbatch.
And yes, ladies, he does the voices. He'll go into like random like Irish or Scottish voices when he's doing like more of like a peasant farmer voice.
Right. And then like he'll be a little like more like royal when he's being like cardinal.
Yeah.
But all, and then he'll be like sexy when he's just generally being Casanova. And, like, he does do a girl voice at some point, doesn't he?
Yeah, like a slightly heightened girl voice when they're always just like, oh, don't leave.
Yeah.
But then he's not really doing Italian voices, except when he says, he'll say a name, just being like, Angela Goodema, but then go back to his British.
It's just so how like all like movies about like the past are done in British. He just like keeps it British in this like way. And then, so I watched Casanova, the movie starring Keith Ledger.
I also watched it last night.
Okay. After I told you I was watching it?
Yeah. It's a ridiculous farce.
It's a pretty ridiculous film. And it's also in full British accent.
Yeah. I mean, the past is British.
And it's like, well, you're not going to have Heath Ledger just do an Italian accent in English.
Yeah.
So just like, let's
we're,
just
we're
keep
already
it
in
the
English.
Past.
Like, we know we're speaking English. This is for an American audience.
Just one more thing about the audiobook is that it was for CDs. So that was even funnier. Just like, oh, listen to it as an audiobook. And then it would be like, end of CD one, end of CD two.
So the part where he's about to reveal whether the castrato is a man or a woman.
Yes. He's like, I know you want to hear end of CD two. Three.
That was, I was just like, Benedict, not your ass with this cliffhanger, with this gender cliffhanger.
Something about like a CD audiobook is so like 90s horny woman too. Like, oh, yeah. Historical, like kind of big English major buying this for like $31.99 at Barnes and Noble's and like putting it in her Volvo and taking like a 45-minute drive to her work at a biotech firm.
There is nothing that's not like wildly horny and repressed about buying a book, any book on CD, because it's like five CDs. It's such this commitment and you're just like, oh yeah, this is just for me.
CD three, let's go. Okay, so yeah, a little bit on Casanova. Like, I didn't know much about him. Like, when you suggested Casanova, I was kind of like, wait, he is?
He's real?
He's real?
No, I said that to my lover, and he was just like, oh, I thought it was just a word.
History is crazy. So, he was born in Italia to two actors.
Which, basically, for a woman to be an actor, no, that's the, okay, the beginning of the movie, they're like, she might as well be a whore.
I was like, go all the way off.
And it's just, it's such ill repute and so shameful for your mother to be an actor.
And so, like, his mother leaves him to be taken care of
by his grandmother in Padua.
In Padua. And she's like, oh, I'll come back for you when I'm successful. And the grandmother is just basically, that means when she's dead.
Yeah.
And it's like, it probably was considered to be a whore.
Yeah.
Unless you know, of an actress at that time. But the theater was so respected at the same time, my mind was boggled.
Yeah, and this is the sexism of the time. But, you know, it's interesting. He does say that it was good that his mother had been trained as an actress because his father died at the tender age of 36. His father got an abscess on the head and died. Of course, this is very the past where everyone's just randomly dying. And he was like, and if his mother hadn't had that skill, she would have been done for. She would have had no way to make money, you know. Then
right.
She would literally would have been a whore on the streets. God knows, you know, what would have happened to her. So she was able to make her own way. But of course, if she wanted her son to be able to enter high society, she would have to disentangle herself from him.
Right, so she left him.
But I do think that the early death of his father was a childhood trauma that obviously, I think, created the sexual pathology where he becomes this love addict. And he's like, so I think he's like trying to impress the father that never was.
You're trying to be a man earlier.
Yes,
than
yes.
You are. I mean, also like time was different then because like 36 yes. Was kind of already like 56.
Time was diferente.
Diferente. So then like he's sent to this kind of like boarding house or like to live with a priest or something. And this also starts, I think, his sexual ways. He's kind right. Of groomed.
As we all are. But by a slightly older, like horny girl who's like 14 and he's 11. And she's just like already taking his virginity.
Right.
When she's washing his legs.
Yeah, it's all this like crazy, very that Twitter moment last year when people were like, white people don't wash their legs.
Yeah.
It's this whole like scene where she asks to wash his legs like innocently. And he's kind of, I mean, obviously not innocently, but he right. Thinks it's kind of innocent. So she starts like washing his legs and it's like, so sexy. I mean, imagine also then he's wearing breeches, like a short, probably like a balloon short linen pant and then breeches and then kind of like a small leather shoe. So it's like, take off the breeches.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, the ritual, the ceremony, it's so erotic.
The bucket of water and a huge Venetian sponge.
Yeah.
Take note, body maker people.
Body maker people? What are you?
The beauty industry.
Okay. Word vibes.
Word vibes. I just feel like having like a huge Venetian sponge could like really be a product.
Oh, absolutely. No, I mean, just the word Venetian, not used enough. Like, we only talk about it in the context of blinds. And I'm kind of like,
right.
Let's just start branding stuff as Venetian because it would fly off the shelves.
Truly. So she's rubbing on his legs and then his member.
And this is the thing. So this book is actually a lot of the language is quite chaste. He never actually like says anything too titillating. This isn't really porn. It's always just all this metaphor. He'll be like, she continued washing until my excitement could not be contained any further.
I was like, oh, this is where all classic paperback romance novel like gets their language. Because everything is so, yes, Mike's like referring to like the dick as my excitement.
Right, he doesn't even say member ever. He's always just saying, my excitement could not be contained.
This was also translated from Venetian, Italian. And so I wonder if there was some liberty because the word dildo is mentioned.
I mean, that whole scene is completely insane.
And we will get to that end of CD3.
I was like, not this castrato packing in like Constantinople. All right, yeah.
Packing and the dildo and this like full queer play.
Where he's just like revealing himself to be a chaser. Okay, let's keep moving.
Yeah, let's keep it. So basically like then he gets aroused and she acts like she wasn't trying to like turn him on and she like leaves and then like he's embarrassed.
But then they do end up fucking and he loses his V-card to her. Right. This book is so funny and every scene is just like him having an affair with like a virgin sister and her sister. But halfway through the book, he's already had threesomes with multiple sisters. And it's always just like someone is turning away like in the same bed and there's three people in like a single cot and you know it's like so creaky and like the most insane like old school Catholic cot and everyone's just like, oh no, it's just normal for us to all be in our dressing gowns like all facing different directions in a bed and pretending like we can't hear like full penetration happening 1 inch away.
But then I'm like, sisters are straight up also hooking up with each other in this book. And then the sisters started kissing on each other as sisters are wont to do.
They showered each other with kisses.
Damn, girl on girl. Like,
there's
sister.
So much fucking
okay,
girl
that's
on girl.
That's funny that you were picturing cot.
I'm picturing kind of saggy bed.
Saggy bed, but I was picturing huge poster boards.
Oh, I guess I feel like, but there's so many. He's always in, like, side rooms, guest rooms, like, separate attics, like, connected to other drawing rooms. And I'm just picturing so many, like, you know when you're, like, looking at an Airbnb in Italy and it's so just, like, that's a random Catholic room that has, like, a wash basin, like, built into the bedstand or whatever.
Very all the verbos I'm looking at for Puerto Vallarta to choose for my rental for my family.
Because you need to take your 74-year-old mom to a gay sex destination. Because you're sick in the head.
Okay, it's also very I'm 70 and expat and I want like lots of shops and restaurants.
No, I mean, there's so much at your fingertips in Puerto Vallarta.
And I guess that is the question, which we can get into the VIP lounge. Do we get a rental in the Romantica Zone, which is like the LGBTQ destination?
It's going to be so loud. It's going to be so loud. Like Gaga is blasting.
Okay, so that actually confirms that I am going to do the Casa Natalia rental, which is farther out on the beach, but not really near many bars and restaurants, but a cab away to the Romantica Zone.
Yeah, I think that just for sleep, getting your honk shoe on.
Okay, yeah.
One thing I noticed, though, about boarding school was boarding school in 1740 sounded a lot like Eton in 1995 with Prince Harry. It was very like,
yes. Oh,
boys will be boys. They're going to like run around like after lights out and like get up to hijinks and be naughty and just like
and
get yelled
like,
at.
And be like, I moved my principles like knickers. And then I put like mercury in his espresso. It was like naughtier. It was the same, but also naughtier. My other take was like, compared to, I mean, obviously different because like it's Europe and like Venice was way more like built up compared to like our old timey Ben Franklin, Ulysses S. Grant books. I was like, damn, life in Venice be lit.
With Lydia's a motherfucking titty over there.
We're always just like, when we read the Ulysses and Ben Franklin, they're like, yes. And then I had gruel and then we did have coffee, but it was just like, you know, it was so like black and ground. And like, they're literally always at like, he's always at a coffee house in Venice. Like, he's always at the theater. Like, he goes to an opera every single night. Dinner reservations up the who.
You know, there is part of this is just like Mediterranean culture. Italian culture has always been about like pleasure and culture and like cultivation of the arts. And like the aristocracy, like you had to know all that. And like you had to speak multiple languages and you like do all this stuff to like in order to be accepted into that world. But then there's also the sort of Catholic versus Protestant divide. And I think after the schism and Martin Luther and all that, it's like the Catholic Church doubled down on, that was the whole Rococo period. The Catholic Church doubled down on being fabulous.
Right. And then like, it's like, that's all why they all like, all those like boring Protestants, sorry, left to go to America.
Yeah. Because they were like, sorry, like London, which was like not that fab, was like too fab for them. They're like, we need to go be so fucking boring and uptight and go start this Puritan colony in America.
Yeah. I was in school. I was always like so confused when I was like, wait, so the pilgrims were like fighting for religious freedom. And I was like, your religious freedom, quote unquote, was like to go be like so quiet and boring.
the freedom to be quiet. And that is Massachusetts.
I mean, that's Mass. Like, shh.
Celebrity Book Club.
Mother's Day is coming, and Mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get Mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get Mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting Mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get Mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for Mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for Mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage.
Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell.
And when those outdoor outfits are scented, like Steven, we sell scented sweatshirts. So we put those on Shopify, and the Shopify customer service team helped us so much. And I would say we had questions at 3, 4 a.m. They were there.
For sure. And I think it's why they help turn browsers into buyers, which is something I look at. But I'm a data nerd, so
totally.
You know, that's
and
just me.
Look, if you are like so confused by the data, let me just tell you this. Shopify is your no excuses business partner. Sell without needing to code or design. We love to hear that, right? Okay.
So if you want to manufacture true crime leggings in Guatemala and sell them in Indonesia, sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/bookclub, all lowercase today.
That's shopify.com/bookclub. shopify.com/bookclub.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Back to the sisters for a second. It's just like, so this is also around the time, like, with all the side doors, like, even though it's so fabulous and he's being so slutty, the Inquisition is always after him, and, like, he's always about to be expelled from Venice by, like, a gay cardinal.
But he's, like, in the favor of, like, the whatever governoriate, and, like, is always going to come out. Because the movie is, like, ridiculous and kind of not really goes along with the book at all.
Totally not realistic.
Totally not realistic.
Hollywood.
Totally ridiculous, but... And it doesn't really track the plot of the book, but one of the themes of the movie is, like, he's always being chased through Venice by the Inquisition. And, like, Jeremy Irons is, like, ridiculous inquisitor who's always just, like, accidentally falling into a gondola, like, while Casanova, like, leaps over a bridge.
And it's a kind of CGI.
I know, but the CGI is actually kind of really funny in that movie. And it's this way where it's, like, it's Uncanny Valley, where it's actually, like, more... It's more like art vibes.
Yes, like, I was so like, okay, this is like Ryan Tricurtin, like when they're like jumping through roofs in...
And it's like, and they're in that hot air balloon, and it's like so kooky.
But in real life, Casanova did get expelled from Venice, like literally for pranking and heresy.
Well, okay, the prank, would you get the part at the end of the book where he digs up that guy's corpse to play a prank on that, like, whatever other, and it's always just like a bishop. He's always staying at a bishop's palazzo, and then it's just like, well, I was terribly angry at him because he, like, didn't deliver a letter, like, to the servant maid that I had already, like, stolen the maidenhood of, and so then I decided to dig up a corpse, cut off the arm, and then, like, put it in the bed with this guy, and then the next day, like, the guy, like, screams, and, like, Casanova runs away, and then the next day everyone's just like, you killed the bishop, and he's like, what? And they're just like, he's now, like, paralyzed for life because he's so afraid of this corpse that
right,
he
he's
put
like,
in his
oh,
bed.
Whoops, just another joke.
I mean, I do love the elaborate pranks that were being played. What a town of leisure.
What a town, and just fun, you know, because they always talk about they as in, I don't know, the world, like, oh, small towns and stuff like that, how you, like, get into trouble. And it's like, what kind of happened to, like, true royal Venetian pranking?
Yeah.
Like, so there's this one prank at, like, this, like, large dinner, massive dinner party they're having with...
It's always just being, like, dinner was lovely. It lasted 3 hours. We had many, many delicious courses of grouse and many, many delicious wines. And we were all quite satisfied and ready for bed. Then I snuck out of my quarters and into the waiting chambermaids and her sister's cousin.
And I climbed into bed. And he also never knows, like, who he's hooking up with. He's like, it could have been, like... Nina Bettina or her cousin, like, Leometta. And he's like, so, and he always refers to, like, alto sex as voluptuous. He's like, we were in the most voluptuous embrace, so we started doing our thing again, not saying sex. And then always a sister is like, no, you need to fuck my sister, like, she's horny, like, please do me the honor of fucking my sister.
I don't know, everyone's always apologizing to being like, I know I'm, like, supposed to be married, but, like, please fuck my sister, but also please fuck me so I can, like, learn about sex. Okay, I also love how he, you know, he's quite an aesthete, you know, he's very, like, into describing the particulars of, I mean, he's a dog.
He's a total dog. But, I mean, I'm sure some things are not mentioned here, but I was like, you actually seem kind of like a lover, and you're, like, more into women than you are into men.
So, resolved. I think that he was a feminist in his day, although he probably would not be called one today. And I think that this book is ultimately, like, a feminist tome, because it is about women's pleasure. It is about the pursuit of pleasure. And at a time when, like, you know, pleasure was completely curtailed and the church was like, you can't do anything. And he was like, I'm being this libertine and I'm celebrating life.
Well, absolutely. And we are, like, kind of, like, always taught that, like, women in that time, like, were not, like, going after, like, did not enjoy sex. And, like, I mean, yes, a lot of them, like, were getting raped, and a lot of them, like, were not enjoying their, like, marriages at 14. Absolutely. But I think there was like a sect of like society women, which makes sense. I feel like it was like women who had more money to like pursue their pleasure and like live with their fathers and not be married off at 13, that they could be like, wait, I like do want to fuck. Well, and like they were more seeing Casanova as like someone they could explore their sexuality with before being married off to, yes, say, a pork owner. Or something.
This, the idea of having sex not in marriage is like the fact that it's so like normalized here in this book is actually quite revolutionary. And I also think, to your point, I think that you were alluding to, is that yes, he describes women physically, and you might be like, that's so offensive that he's calling this woman's hand too large and fleshy. But it's like he actually like tells women's stories. Sorry, women's stories matter. And like all the women in this book, like he's telling you like where they're from, like what their conflicts are, like what their desires are, where they're going to go next. He's giving a lot of interiority to like all of these women characters.
Exactly. He's not being like, oh, like this bitty. And like you can also tell, like I think, you know, and this goes back to the mother leaving, the grandmother.
Yes.
He's like, I think much more like besides like his butler, like he's kind of like playing tricks with other guys, but I feel like he does prefer the company. I think he finds them more complicated,
Yes. More
passionate. He prefers the company of hanging out with women. Like he's always like literally chilling with three sisters.
He's actually like such, he's kind of a male lesbian in this way.
Yes.
He's being so, yeah.
No, it is a little like his vibe could be a little like poly guy with like, yes, being like, well, me and Tracy were together. But then Tracy started dating Sarah, and sometimes and me and Sarah cool. play.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he's very like bartender top bun.
Yes, absolutely bun vibes.
But I think obviously this book is like a huge step forward for progressivism.
And for, yeah, Venetian women's sexuality of the time.
Yes.
Now, Stephen Giacomo Casanova, I would like some clarity on a part of this book that I was a little, because there are so many sisters.
Yeah,
I did get a little confused. This is where I was like, yes, you're a feminist, but also like you're a little bit like sketchy, angry guy. He gets like tricked by a woman and then gets like really angry at her and is like hiding in so many sheds to like do something to her.
Well, is this the woman who accuses him of like being a miser at like the Faro, that kind of poker game they're always playing? And then she's like, oh no, you never spend all your winnings. Like if you did, you would buy some gloves. And then he's just like so angry that she called him out because he knows it's so true that he doesn't buy gloves. And because if you don't have gloves, then you're never opening the door of a carriage. And everyone's always seen that he's like opening the door of a carriage barehanded, which is like so embarrassing. And he's like, I actually need to be spending my lira and ducats.
Well, because then it's like your hands are getting so rough with like the carriage doors. So it's like you're not actually noble, and he's showing himself.
And he's like, and then I was scheming, but then he like also falls in love with her.
It's not, I know that story. It's not that story, though. It's earlier in the book when it's, and maybe it is Bettina, like leg washing girl.
Oh, well, because she actually like has this crush on this other guy. There's always, everyone's always like boarding someone in their many rooms.
Yeah,
house.
Someone else, they're like, ooh, I also like had a crush on Silvio.
And like she has a crush on Silvio, and then she does her whole like fake hysteria thing where she's having like convulsions.
Yes, and then he's like, being like, you're not actually sick.
And he's like, not this Munchausen's bitch. Like, I gotta get out of Padua. And I feel like he is like so mad and scheming, but he's also 11 at that time.
Okay, like, that makes more sense. He's being like like angry 11-year-old being like, what? You like have a crush on Silvio? Like you just washed my legs.
Okay, so we need to talk about... About the castrato.
He meets a man.
This is after he gets expelled from Venezia. He's on his way to Constantinople, and there's this insanely gay drama with the passport that's literally, I was like, this is so gay, where he's like, he loses his passport.
I forgot my passport, and they're like, and he's like, no, I forgot it. But that happens after they're like together.
But he hasn't gone to Constantinople. He's still trying to get to Constantinople, but he's in some other like Italian town, like trying to get a ship or something. And he meets this guy named like Bologna or something.
Yeah, it is. And they hang out, and he's like under, and this is where it gets like queer, because he's like, I can just tell like Bologna, he's not being like, you're a woman to shame. He's being like, I can tell like, there's something like a little bit femme androgynous about you, and like I want to tap it.
And everyone's like, oh, this is just a castrato. And then he's so specific because he's just like, no, this castrato like has tits. But he's like, I know the difference between the deformed breast of a castrato and that of a woman.
Yes, of a soft, soft breasts. He's basically calling out, like, I know the difference between, like, wide lesbian boobs.
Yeah.
And, like, a woman who's dressing as a man to, like, pass in society for a certain reason, but is straight.
No, more like, because castrato is when they cut the balls off a young boy.
A young boy, and then they, like...
I think, like, estrogen production probably ramps up in some way, and so you do grow, like, little tits.
Okay.
So it's basically kind of, like, you know, castrato is, like, kind of the original, like, trans girl.
Non-bine. Yeah.
And you're literally, like, getting, like, bottom surgery at, like, age 14 or whatever, so you can stay as a singer in the chorus.
Oh, okay, in the opera.
That's, yeah, so castrato meaning the castrate. And then you keep your soprano voice.
Got it. Okay.
So castrato is supposed to be basically, like, a young boy and what we might call, like, a trans girl now today, like, someone who had their balls cut off.
And wants to sing opera.
Who wants to sing opera. And he's like, I think this is a woman. And, like, everyone else is like, no, it's a castrato. Like, he's been inspected. And he's like, inspected by who? And they're like, inspected by the bishop. And he's like, well, I would like to inspect the castrato myself because, like, I know that these, like, are actually real tits and not just, like, kind of, like, post-bottom surgery estrogen tits that, like, this T-girl has. But then he also is just, like, I think he's so beautiful and I, like, wanted to make love to him as a woman and it's being so, like, affirming.
Right, of
the transness
of the castrato. He'd be like, yeah, I'm down to sleep with this trans girl.
Right, being just like, I'm actually so queer and affirming.
Now that I'm in my Constantinople period, like, right. I'm queer.
I'm in my Constantinople era and I'm, like, so queer and, like, whatever. I've left just, like, the Catholic society behind. So then he's just like, I need to be this, like, AFAB detective. And, like, does sleep with him. And it turns out he was right. And she is a bio female.
And, like, wasn't actually being, like, I mean, is being, like, trans in a certain way, but also was doing it more in a way. Because I feel like there were so many, like, girls of that time who, like, did, like, transition to male because they wanted to be and, like, were, like, passing in the Union General Army.
This is the thing. It's just, like, the past, it was so easy to, like, do anything. And, like, everyone is always just putting on a hat. And then everyone's like, it's a man.
It's
and
very like, She's the Man, that movie with Amanda Bynes.
And so many times in the movie, the Heath Ledger movie, where it's just, like, that girl who's trying to be such a, like, feminist is always just putting on, like, one mustache and glasses. Yes.
And, like, entering into court and then, like, takes off, like, her mustache and everyone's like, what?
What? And it's also so gentle where, like, she just, again, just puts on a hat and everyone's just like, who is this boy? Like, and also at this time, you could literally just, because there's no, like, photos or internet, you could go to any town just, like,
and no one knows you.
No one knows you. You can just be like, I am the Count of Redoncula. And everyone would just be like,
okay.
Oh, okay, sure. You're the Count. Like,
even in the movie, Casanova's just like changing his wig and being like, I am like the mayor of Padua. And everyone's like, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say though, the non-castrato is like, she was, her father made her like dress as a man. So she didn't have to become a whore.
Everyone is just always going through the
1700s. They're like, put on a hat, because otherwise you would be a sex slave.
Right. And you absolutely must move to Traverse. But then it turns out that, like, her father died or something, so she could go back to, like, Palermo and, like, not be a whore. But, like, she has to leave this town where, like, she's only known as a castrato.
Right. You just have to fucking leave town, pack up.
So, but then before she leaves, her father gives her a small device that may fool examiners, and it's a dildo. And I'm just like, wait, so what, like, bishop is just, like, examining you and seeing this 17th century strap-on and being just like...
Yep. I mean, I'm sure
they're
doing just... And
then she shows him the strap!
So, Casanova, this is after they've, like, had, you know, made voluptuous love, and they're in some drawing room, who knows where... And he's like, and then she shows me her dildo and, like, the rubber glue that she uses to attach with it. And it's like, you know, is the most, like, crazy ass.
Yeah,
like,
it's actor's glue.
Ground horse glue. She probably had, like, such a, like, now bespoke, like, leather harness.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to see, like, at what, like... throwback party, like, whatever queer sex party, someone is doing some, like, awesome wooden horse leather strap-on play.
I mean, that's very the Sex Museum. Have you ever been in, like, Flatiron?
No, I haven't. Yeah, oh, wait, no, I have.
It's a very vintage dildo over there.
Yeah, I mean, it probably would be very painful.
But it's being a little more, like, 20s, not 17, 15.
I was shocked that, like, that technology existed back then. But I guess also that just is not that shocking.
I was shocked, too. I was like, I wonder what the Italian word was that they translated.
Dildini.
Dildo was. Here's my question for you. So, yes, they're lounging. So many Venetian sheets. Do you think she fucked him with the dildo?
Oh, with her strap?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's such an adventurer.
I can't imagine after she, like, put it on, like, they just didn't
the, but
do...
But the way that he talks about all the women in this book, like, I think, obviously, it's the time. Women are incredibly sheltered, and so they're all just being so, like, nervous and submissive, and he's taking everyone's virginity. It just doesn't seem like she would be so... like, aggressive and domineering that she would even, like, think to do that.
But she's,
like,
already wearing it.
But she's wearing it as a disguise, not as, like, a sexual empowerment tool. Like, she's not being, like, this is erotic to
me. I guess maybe it's a little more, like, she walked kind of around the bedroom with it, and it was kind of, like, fraudage. Like, he was...
Or she did a little performance.
Yeah, like, you know, strut for me. Not, like, he bent over and then she, like, truly pegged him, but... I think there was a little bit of maybe a role play. And then, of course, the Inquisition probably, like, came and, like, they were like, we have to hide.
I didn't get that vibe from her. She seemed incredibly timid. I feel like you don't, the first time you have sex, you don't, like,
pull out do a toy like
strap
that.
On play.
And no, I agree. I guess I was just like, I don't know, he included it. So definitely, you know, made a memory.
I guess, like, my question to you is, if you, like, saw this gorgeous castrato and you were just like, no, that's a chick.
No, I know that's a fucking hot chick under there.
Would you be so, like, and you found out and it actually wasn't a chick and she had a dick and it was this trans girl? Would you be like, whoa, dude, like, get out of my bed? Or would you be like, okay, I'm going to fuck you anyway?
If we were already in bed, right, I would continue on.
Yeah. Word.
Yeah.
That's fucking open as hell of you.
Yeah. Okay, well, I asked the same question to you. If it was like, I mean, you've already, you know, like, hooked up with a chick.
Yeah.
Because I'm such a gold star. So you would continue on with just like with a trans guy.
Oh, with a trans guy? Yeah, I mean, I'm already there. I mean, I guess it's like, I would have had to have already been like thinking I was going to be the top, I guess, in that situation.
Right, like you were like, I'm going to be the top. This is a twink.
So in that sense, then, yeah, I don't think it would be that big of a deal. Yeah, I'm super progressive.
Yeah, I'm also super progressive. But I do wonder, like, if I found it before we were in bed.
But I also think that I am like Casanova and I am such a bio detective. And I think that I would be like, right. I don't think I would be fooled.
I think you would know before, which wouldn't stop you, but I think you would maybe know before.
Okay, wait. I want to talk about just back to Venetian culture for a second. When he talks about the concept of the magazzino.
Magazine.
He was like, there were these public houses called magazzinos, and there were 72 of them in Venice, in every district of Venice, and they would be open all night. They would be like full of just like common rooms, like just like kind of hangout spaces, and they would serve like wine all night, and like anyone could go there, and like usually like the nobleman would not be there, but like you could find like kind of a wide cross section of society in there. And like if it's 4 a.m. and you're like, fuck, where are we gonna go hang out, you and your squad could literally go there. There'd be some like random room with like chairs, you could just go sit there and like chill. And I love that.
Yeah, can we get that back? It's like a place that is, like, I guess I'm like describing also the most early 2000s club, literally bed. I'm just like, where's a place with just like banquettes and huge velvet couches?
I mean, we have literally no public spaces anymore, and capitalism has privatized every fucking inch of our cities.
And if we created this like massive, it's also when they describe that, I'm literally just imagining the Jane Hotel.
Wait, it's so... I feel like it was a little bit more, like, Spartan than the Jane Hotel. I don't know if it was so, like, so many fabrics. I'm picturing a little bit more just, like, a wooden bench, like, in a random room.
This is what happens when you watch the movie, because now I'm so influenced by all the fabrics in the Heath Ledger 06
laid
movie.
In with fabrics. There's so much fabric.
And, like, Oliver Platt, who plays this, like, lard purveyor from Padua yeah. is like such a like plump little spoiled king who's like always in like so the many, craziest
there's
silks.
So many fat jokes in it.
Okay, in Venetian culture, yeah, this I want to talk about this trick that he does where they give people organ meats so they'll like fart.
Yeah, and it was like such a ridiculous ruse that we just couldn't get enough of it. I mean, farting has been funny.
Forever.
Forever. It's always been funny.
Always been funny.
You know, I think it's gross, but at the same time, like, yeah, I can imagine. It's the contrast of, you know, the nobleman, the patrician, this very uptight hoity-toity aristocracy, and having to see them be confronted with the bodily functions.
Which I think what this book did... again, do well is like, it has the in-between of that culture that isn't like fully castle and like fully like peasant. We're all like turning a big witch's brew. It's just kind of yeah. like, I guess, yeah, the middle yuppie class of yeah. like going to magazinos and drinking wine. So the book ends and he like finds this other lover who like he says that they were like together forever. Am I wrong?
Wait, what's her name?
Francesca?
Right, which is also the name of the girl in the movie. I just feel like that, because I was also reading about him and saying like, oh, actually the greatest love of his life was Henriette, was like some French girl that he like later met. I feel like there's a lot more to the story, and he's also a bit of a fabulist. So like, I'm not quite sure on account of who this is. It's kind of just like, it wraps up on a neat note. He also is a love addict. And every time he meets someone, he was like, I was in love with her.
Yes. I mean, that's also how one spoke then.
Yeah, and then, like, I think even a fleeting crush was just love.
Like a crush is love, and...
Well, because it wasn't so now where it's like so TikTok where they didn't have the phrase, the talking stage. They
didn't. What's the talking stage?
There was like that recent viral video of a girl being like, here's the thing about the talking stage, and she just never makes a point, and it's like 45 seconds of her saying like, basically.
The internet is ridiculous. I mean, maybe it is more about like bringing back love as casual, and we've put such a soulmate, you know... finding the one, and if you don't
totally
find the
agree.
One, it's this, and it's like, you know, we need to take away, you know, when you break up, it is not a failure.
No, and it's not the end of your life, and it's love can be for a night, love can be for a week, that can still be love.
Yes,
and you have room in your heart for more love. That love is endless.
And please download our app #open.
Camino is really poly this episode. Okay, also the insane thing in this book is how much like mercury is in it. Well, people use mercury as like a cure, and it's actually just so toxic and poisonous. And then he does that crazy trick where he
with
like
the doctor.
Yeah, where he like, well, A, where he like saves that guy's life, but B, where he like mixes the wine. He like
right with mercury.
No, he dilutes mercury with bismuth and lead, and then he's like. He's like, oh, and like, then you can go sell it at like the apothecary, and you'll sell it back to them and like basically make a profit, even though you've like retained some of your original mercury. He's just being like a full like scam artist.
No, it's so amazing because he's like, okay, I'm a scam artist. I'm like profiting off of like mercury laden wine. Then I'm going to be a clerical assistant. And then like at one point he does like play the violin, aka the fiddle. And he's like, oh, I know it's not respected, but like he basically like was such a like gondolier restaurant, like violin player on the gondola.
And this is also after he just buys an officer's uniform and then is like just says he's an officer, and then now he's like, yeah, I'm in the army because I just like bought a uniform. And they're always just like, oh, what like regiment are you in? And he's just like, that's none of your business.
Sorry, that's private naval information.
But he's literally like, he's like cutting wine with fentanyl and like selling mercury back to an apothecist. And it's like, you absolute scam freelancer. I'm obsessed.
It reminds me of this actually like good like doc on Netflix. Was all the trash on there, if you know what I'm talking about this like guy who got into the like crazy like red wine like Somm world, and he would like buy bottles, like copy their labels, had like such an insane counterfeiting thing, and then just like would refill the bottles like with mixes of like different wine and then resell them at auction for 80,000.
I remember hearing like an article about this, and yeah, he was like basically a wine forger, which is crazy.
But Casanova, I mean, that was just one of his jobs.
Right. I mean, but that was, this is more like a parlor trick, and then yeah. he managed to like sell the secret to some guy for like 500 ducats, and then the guy was just like, wait a minute, this isn't mercury, this is just diluting mercury with bismuth. And he was like, yeah, well, you wanted my secret, now you have it, bitch, pay up. And then he was like, and then we remained the best of friends. Yeah.
Just another good Venetian scoundrel like I was. I was just like, oh, like the restaurants that they were going to, you know, it really just felt.
I want to spend that at Villa Negroni.
Yeah, I know. He's always like, okay, so we were posted up at Villa Negroni. Yeah, because to make money, I mean, I guess that's why he was kind of the original.
And just like all you need, you just need a letter of recommendation. And all of a sudden you're just like living a life of only
like,
parties.
He's like, oh God, I owed 16,000 lira to like this person. But then like you just find a way to like pay off your debts in another ridiculous manner.
Wait, also the moment when they're on, he's on some like some dock with like some gentleman, and the gentleman pulls out a spyglass to like see an incoming ship, and he's like, my daughter's arriving. And just like clocking your daughters on a ship via spyglass. I miss those days.
I literally am gonna go to the Chelsea Piers. I'm gonna pull out a spyglass.
Like, I wanna be sitting just like in Dime Square, like looking just like down canal with a spyglass and being like, is that Felicia without a petticoat? Oh my goodness, my excitement is showing.
Felicia's not with her sister. Where could her sister have gone? And then like you zoom in on like 169 bar and you're like, oh, I see. Constantina is with a suitor. Noted. Write that. Take out my quill. Like, and also the movie starts out like it shows him like he writing his memoirs and he has so many used feather quills surrounding him. It's like a desk piled with feathers.
Celebrity Book Club. Celebrity Book Club.
Uno, doce, trece, segmentinos.
Segmentinos. How does she live?
What does she eat?
What does she wear?
Well, he wears wigs. Big, heavy wigs.
He wears wigs for sure. And like his wigs are definitely like sometimes like askew because he's just like running from fucking.
Right? Yeah, he's always leaping out of a maiden's bedroom and into a gondola. An askew wig. Probably like 4 layers of like intensely embroidered brocade blazers, and which right. So many buttons and
he's
britches.
Definitely wearing like the shirt that Jerry wears in Seinfeld, like the pirate shirt.
But of course, an exposed leg in a beautiful stocking
Don't
to show his masculinity.
And then I think just a gorgeous leather loafer, well, more of a monk strap, I guess. Probably like a one
buckled. Definitely a monk strap, yeah. I don't think he's so 3 straps. I think he's like a classic single monk strap.
Like, is a scam artist in this way. So right. He's always in debts. Like, he's not going to like the finest Venetian shoemaker.
No. He'll go to the tailor. He's kind of more like you and me vibes, where he is going to like the tailor that's also like whatever, like
the
laundromat.
Yes.
Yeah, and it's like not having so his Savile Row. He's just like going to the local place that's behind the Magazzino and just being like, wait, can you fix this monk strap? Like, it got torn when I was like running through a hedge maze, like on a palazzo.
No, you and me are always like trying on pants in just like the full general room of a dry cleaner, being like, yeah. Can you make them like, okay, hemmed 1/2 inch and take them in a tiny bit at the bottom, right. Like a little bit of a taper. I think he has like also just like a lot of big as a Venetian linen shirts that are like puffy and open.
And you think those are his around the house?
Around the house and like walking to market, like linen shirt, white linen shirt tucked into black pants, but sometimes a white linen pant for sure.
And then I think today, as we discussed, he would be way more like leather. Cord necklace.
I mean, I think he would be like leather vest.
Okay. I don't think he's that full magician. I think that it's more just like leather cord necklace and like, you know, really soft tee, like leather cuff, like skinny
buff.
Jeans. Yeah. Buff, like, you know, a variety of hats, like just kind of a bit of a burner, but like elevated burner.
Yeah. I see that. He also, I mean, there is something about him that is, I guess, that is like pickup artist. So that's where I getting like Fedora a little bit, where you're like,
yeah, and so milady.
Yeah, and it is milady, and it's like the whole thing about pickup artists is they always like wear something like ridiculous, so like a woman talks to them.
Okay, what does she eat?
What does she eat, darling? I mean, in the beginning when we first started, I mean, it's also just like the most like 1700s obvious thing. It's just like his favorite food is like this Spanish meat soup. And you're like, of course. It's okay. Just like a brown kind of dredgy, rich soup of meat and chorizo and I think like beans.
Okay, so he likes a little spice.
Yeah, I think a little bit of spice. I think a richness, you know. He's a reservation whore. He's a restaurant girl, like big meat dishes.
Because he also, like, there's scenes where he's just like, I went to the inn and I dined alone. And like, he's very like, not afraid to dine alone.
No.
Doesn't need his dining out alone armor.
Doesn't need his quill.
Yeah. Like, he is a confident chica and will just like enjoy a meal by himself, which I think is really fab.
There's also a point in this book that like modern chica, like he goes on diets. That is what I mentioned. Like, he's like, well, and then I did go on a 2-month diet to like get myself better. Because he was like, had some deep 1700 sickness. And that I feel probably was like, just like a vegetable soup.
Well, yeah, because every time he gets an STD, like when he gets an STD from that handsome Greek woman, and he's like, she cursed me and I had to observe a very strict diet and rest for 2 weeks till I could be gone of the illness from which she had afflicted me. Yeah, I wonder if it's just like, yeah, is it like high in fish? Is it like no dairy?
I mean, it's probably like, yeah, no dairy. You know, I don't think I bet it was like a lot fowl, you know, maybe like gizzard, like, or it was like have chicken feet soup and carrots or something. It was probably like a drink of vinegar, mm-hmm. A lot of vinegar washes.
Yeah. Yeah, that would have helped. But then also like mercury.
Yeah, then mercury. Yeah, it's like
steady diet of mercury.
They're like, no more Madeira wine. Just a shot of mercury.
Every morning. Okay, and how does she live? It's like definitely very messy and like waking up and there's like so many cigarillos and like
yeah,
spilled like, wine on a platter.
So many like dry, like the wine was probably thick back then
yeah.
In a way.
Oh yeah.
Crusty wine.
And he's a little bit like wine stain on the settee and then like turning the cushion over. I mean like oops.
Yeah. I feel like there's a bath. He seems very bath to me because he is like always fucking.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's a lot of bathing that needs to be done to wash the love off your body.
Yeah. I think it is like piles of papers and piles of feather quills. Like, I think he's like, oh, I have an idea. Takes feather quill, writes it, leaves it there. It's kind of has this like artsy piles of books.
Yes, it's piles of books. And it's like, again, there's piles of fabric, candles, lots of just like wax stains on the dressers from like all the candles burning with his late night diary writing.
It's going to go ahead and be a high bed. It is old. If Room Raiders came in there with the black light, I mean,
oh my god, honey,
damn, it would be covered.
All of that pussy juice.
But I also feel like he is being a little ashamed and being like doing his making love like elsewhere.
Oh, and not at his own spot.
Like, I'm sure he is having like three sisters over at his own spot, but like a lot of it does happen like in a side room and then he's like leaving and putting his britches back on pretty quickly.
It's always these like doors that are locking from the inside. I guess that's all doors, but everything.
No, I know. He's like, my butler for the day showed me that the lock locked from the inside.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay. Well, because was it so evil back in the time and someone always had a big key and they were like locking you in and being like, you can come out when I say you
yeah,
can.
Everything was a prison. And then like someone is coming and raping you with their big key.
Who are you in the book? Okay, so I realized who I am.
Are you Christine, the peasant girl who doesn't know how to eat oysters?
Yes. the peasant girl who he's like, she's so hot. And then I'm like, I actually can't read or write. And he's like, well, you have to learn, because I'm not going to be going out with you in Venice if you can't read or write.
Right. She's like, I've never been to the theater before, and it's so me buying your family your first DVD player.
You must see films.
And he teaches her how to eat oysters and truffles. Yeah.
Me at Moo with your parents. I'm like, Lily, hold the oyster with your thumb and index finger. Now just slurp like you've never slurped before.
Boston's premier steakhouse, Moo. I feel like I'm his friend who's like getting into bed with him at boarding school and being like, wait, like, are we hooking up?
Yeah, but then just kind being of like, wait, nervous. What if? Yeah, we're two like crazy guys, right? And then you're like, huh, no sisters to fuck tonight. Why don't we just... Yeah. It's a cold Venetian night, isn't it?
Yeah. My dressing gown is threadbare.
And he's like, okay, well, why not? And then like you do kind of hook up.
We kind of are like rubbing and cuddling, maybe.
Yeah. And like excitement is shown for sure. Yeah.
Absolutely excitement is shown. But we don't actually fully achieve the temple. That Tawari is like, I got near the birth of her temple, but did not enter the estuary.
Wait, now I'm thinking of this part where he actually is being so sketchy and pickup artist, where he says to one of the sisters, like, you actually have to sleep naked to show that you trust me to not do anything to you.
Yeah.
He's like, if you really trusted me, you would sleep in the nude.
Right. And she's like, okay.
Okay, question mark.
Yeah, everyone's just like, no, if you really trusted me with my, like, absolute, like, papal virginity, you would fully penetrate me and my sister simultaneously without looking.
That's real trust. And then it is sad, and like you are like, you guys have this amazing night where it's just like you are kind of like fraudage, but then the next day he's kind of being like, yeah, okay, I fucked sisters, and you're like, huh, totally, I'm not in love.
I don't know, I give this book like 400 out of 500 lira won at a game of Faro at a magazino. I'm like, this book was hilarious.
This book was so funny. I give it 400 mercury soaked like wine bottles out of 500. Like, I think this is something we can come back to, like, not the Venetian period, but like next year maybe we can do another part of this memoir.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think it's really interesting. I think it's also, it is a fascinating cultural document, and it's such a detailed account of society in 18th century Italy.
It's lauded actually as the account to describe what 18th century Italy was like.
You know, he talks about social prejudices. I mean, like, you know, the guy who has to change his name so he can be a respected mathematician because, like, people would have just thought he was such a, like, disgusting farmer peasant if his name wasn't, like, Fabrizio or whatever. He's just, like, you know, he's making fun of society and all of the air that people felt like they needed to put on. Like, you really learn a lot about what people valued at that time.
We're like back then. It really, I was like, I don't think my ancestors were at a magazino with Giacomo.
Yeah. I'm so curious what my German, Ukrainian, Jewish, Russian, British ancestors,
like,
were doing.
I guess they were in Sicily, so they definitely weren't in Venice. But I was like, I don't know. Yeah, like maybe they were at like a play, but I think they were probably being a little more like farm
they
and
wine.
They
were being more country girl, and they definitely never heard of truffles.
Yeah, they were not like truffles and like...
But I'm sure, like, your great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandmother was, like, horny AF for, like, her neighbor.
Definitely. The fam, horny. No cap. All right, my little Venetians.
My little clubinitos, kiditos. We'll see you next week. Please use protection.
Please use protection. Make love to sisters and get a library card.
Best.
This episode is produced and edited by a known nobleman, Max Miller. The theme song is performed and recorded by Stephen Phillips Horst, who is a fiddler, and you can see him in all the Venetian theaters.
graphic design is Teddy Blanks. If you want to follow us on the social media, you must, because there's so much fun content there that supports the other content that we make. I need you to go write a review on Apple right now while you scallywag. Go do it and tell your friends to do it. It's so fun and it make us feel better about ourselves. We love you, we love, we love you. Go to Patreon to get more stuff. We will see you next week. Best.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
What's up, y'all? Janice Torres here.
And I'm Austin Hankwitz.
We're the hosts of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories, a podcast presented by iHeartRadio's Ruby Studios and Intuit QuickBooks. Join us as we speak with small business owners about the tools they use to turn their ideas into success.
From finding that initial spark of entrepreneurship to organizing payments and invoices, we've got you covered. So follow and listen to Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah, and some waves so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Tenor girl goes shopping.
Yeah, baby.
Wait, did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.